thank you so much for coming again tonight. We're going to be, if you noticed, I have broken the chain by not staying on the course that I gave to you. I thought I could jump around and chew up some pieces, but I don't digest that way, and so I just couldn't do what I hoped to do with this book. When I get into a chapter, there's so much on one page, and in one chapter, I can't seem to skip around and leave some of it. And so I have to either decide to jump over some things and give you the conclusion to all this now and kind of sum up where we've been trying to go, or to try to just pick through pieces of it. And so we're going to look at the 11th chapter tonight. So just act like you've already gone through those other chapters and you know all about those things. And so now we're going to look at, as the writer now tries to begin to make some applications about what he's been saying seven times. He has rang the bell that there's nothing greater to do in life but to every day to eat and drink and enjoy what God gives to you every day, because that is the gift of God. So God wants you every day. He doesn't want you to say, oh, I just had a bad day. You might have a bad hair day, but don't have a bad day. You know what I mean? Make up your mind and your attitude. You know, your attitude affects how you look at everything. And if you make up your mind, I'm going to look at the best for life and give life the best interpretation. I'm going to try to seek the best in people. And I'm going to put my confidence in God that He's going to work this all out. I don't know how He's going to do it, but somehow God's going to do it. And so it doesn't matter what happens today or tomorrow, because you have no idea what you're going to face. And so just come at this thing with constant trust in God. Now, when you look at the 11th chapter, the writer really is kind of illustrating for us, it seems to me. Some people believe it kind of looks in the direction of financial things, and it seems to in some ways do that. Some believe that it looks in the direction of benevolence, and it seems to do that. But I think that really what it seems to me to be suggesting is, in all these arenas, what we need to learn to do in life is to put our faith in God and go out here and not be afraid of life, not run from life, don't chase life, but live life every day. And when you're doing that, what you do is you just go on and you just put confidence in God. And so you do things that might not make sense to anybody else. Listen to what he says in verse 1. Cast or sow thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now think about this. Here's a picture of taking your seed or your bread or whatever it might be, whatever you have, your food or your money, whatever, and you just cast it out on the water. And what does water, when I bought my first house in Louisville, Kentucky, I was not a very smart young man. I didn't go look at it on a rainy day. And when the first rain came, my garage had 6 inches of water in it. My yard went under. And so I could have bought me a boat and fished in my backyard. And so I began to decide what to do about that. And so I, first of all, built a little wall around the edge of my yard with some dirt. So, because my neighbors had all built their yards up, and I was the valley, you know. And I thought, well, if I could just at least keep the flood from coming this way, maybe I have a chance. And so I went ahead and I sowed grass seed and put fertilizer in my yard and did all those things. Well, here came a big rain. Well, each one of my neighbors went out there and cut a little tunnel in my wall. And so all my fertilizer washed out on their yards and all my grass. And so after that first rain, their yards were green, their dandelions were dead, and they just loved me. So, oh, you're wonderful. You're just great. Well, I cast my seed out on the water and it went away, see? But I made some great neighbor friends out of that, you see. And so I benefited. It came back to me. And then I began to think about what I could do to dig a trench in my yard and run a line down into the sewer system to take all that water away. And so I did that. And so my yard was the valley, but it finally dried up and I had beautiful grass. And everybody just thought I was the most wonderful person just because I just cast my seed out there. And then I didn't get all upset because it washed away. I just did something with it. So everything you have, whatever you do, just take what you've got in life. If you've got some money and you're thinking, well, I'm going to do something, I'm going to invest in something, go on and just sow that seed. Or somebody needs some help and say, well, I'm kind of a little tired here, but I've got a little extra money. I'll go ahead and give that to somebody and help them. You just go ahead and take that seed and throw it on the water. Take your bread and let it go and realize that God will take it somewhere and something will happen to it. So this is a picture of putting your faith in God, doing what might not make sense. Why would you throw your bread on the water and let it wash away? Because somebody else is in control of it, you see. And then notice after he says that in that verse 2, he says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now here's a picture of when you do these things, when you're casting your seed out, what you want to do now is what the old folks used to say years ago, don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know. Go ahead and do something here and put a little bit over there and invest in this and invest in this person and do some of these things and just scatter this thing all around because you don't have any idea what evil is going to come and you might invest in this thing and it might collapse and go away or you might help somebody and they might turn against you and so that might go that way. But you help somebody else and they might come up and then you get in trouble and you need some help because some evil comes and you're going to find out there are going to be people who you've already done something for. Let me tell you, people don't generally forget too easy. When you showed kindness and generosity, and so God said, you just go ahead and you just spread it out wide, you see. Just go ahead and spread around what little you've got and do some good with it. You don't have to do a lot of big major things. I've never done a lot of big major things. You in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and that the parable where they're all gathered, the sheep and the goat are gathered. And if you notice those people, what they did? Well, they went out and did simple things to the common people of God, give somebody a drink of water, and went out and did something simple to somebody. And so just do simple little things like that. You'll be shocked at what He will do to your life if you just build friends with people and put your faith in God and don't wait. Notice the next verse helps us to see something about all that. He said, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree falleth toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall lie. Notice, here's a picture of clouds coming up. Now, what do we know about clouds? When clouds come up, these big black clouds will come up. Sometimes they won't do anything. They'll blow right over us. But sometimes the big black cloud will come over, and it'll cause a nice, soft, gentle rain to come down, rain on your garden, water your lawn. And so it will be a great blessing. But it could also open up the windows of heaven and just give us a good flood and wash your house away. I mean, the clouds can do that. Clouds can be a blessing, and clouds can bring disaster. Would you all look at the television today? Was it down in Texas where they're evacuating places because the clouds opened up and just flooded the place? And so clouds can do that. And not only that, but what about, and so you can't control that. But now what about when a tree falls? What if there's a big tree in your yard? I was a few years ago when you had this big strong direct wind that came up out of the south and blew a lot of trees over. Several years ago, we were at some people's house on Sunday afternoon, and these gigantic pin oak trees that big around were just blowing. I was standing out in the woods like an idiot. I should have got out somewhere in the clearing. I was standing in the woods, and trees were falling all around me, and a big limb hit me on the head, and I was just standing there marveling at all these trees. Everybody else had gone in the house, got down in the basement. I wanted to see what was going on. And I was standing there watching all these, and I thought, you know, where those trees fall, you better be out of the way. And so I left where I was standing. The man came outside. We went down, for some reason, down the road to see what was going on. We could get out to go to church at night. And while we were gone, a big, gigantic tree fell right where his car was parked. We were standing, crushed his car flat, and landed right up against his house. But now I'm going to tell you, that tree fell, and that's where it laid. And you know, you think about it, a tree can fall and land near your house, and it can give you a blessing. That man took all those big pin oak trees, cut them into logs, took that to the sawmill. He got rich off that storm came through. But you know, that tree could have fallen directly on his house. Nobody could have stopped that. So you see, when a tree falls, it can fall in your house, or it can fall over near your house and give you firewood. But either way, there are things going to happen. You have no power. You have no control. Don't let that bother you. Are you worried about politics? Don't let that bother you. God's in control. You do what you can do and let God take care of it. And so no matter how the economy goes or what happens in our country, I've been in a lot of countries where there's been ungodly governments for many years, and I'm not worried a bit about that. I was in Zimbabwe when the Ebola thing was out, and they kept it secret. I didn't know it was there. I got home before I even knew what was going on there. I've been in several countries where things like that were going on. I had no idea till I went in and got out. And so if I'd have known, I don't think I'd have left. I think I'd have just done what I went there to do. But he's showing a picture here. There are things that you can't control. You have no ability to stop or to start them. And so what should you do in life? Just keep sowing your seed. Just keep investing in life. Just keep trusting in God. Take your life and have influence. Go around and visit old folks, you young people, and you old folks are going to visit young people, and just go out and do good things. And you young folks, go rake some leaves. Well, don't rake leaves now, but go out and rake leaves for old people in the fall of the year. In the summertime, go mow the grass or do just go out and just do simple little things and invest in people. And you'll find out as you go along, your life and your influence and your reputation will pass you up. People will just think this person is really somebody who loves God. And he has faith in God. It doesn't matter what it costs him or what expense, he's going to do good in life. And so invest in everything you get opportunity to do. Every good thing you can do, just go do every good thing you can do. And don't worry about how conditions might look. Look at verse 4. He that soweth, he that observeth the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. See, here's somebody now, they're sitting around and say, well, now, I don't know. The stock market looks awful bad and the economy looks pretty bad, so I'll just hoard my money up and sit on it and I won't do anything, or the conditions just don't look like. I'm going to wait till the conditions are right. And when the conditions look like it ought to be, I'm going to take off and go with the conditions. You don't know what controls the conditions. You see, God controls the conditions. And so you just go and do what's right, and don't look around and look at what's going on around you and be worried or troubled. Don't go around fussing and fretting and being all troubled about life. Don't do that. Don't be cynical about life. Don't be afraid of life. Go out and live life and do all the good you can do. Take everything you've got and invest it. I tell folks, I'm trying to burn my candle at both ends. When I get on, I want to go out with a puff of smoke and let that be the end of it. And my boys already know when they come to hear the reading of my will, the lawyer's going to say, Gary Sandusky of sound mind and good judgment, spent all he had. That's how it's going to be. So don't stand around and wait on me, old boys, because it's going to all be gone. But you see, whatever you got, whatever you have in your hand, power to use what you've got. And then notice in verse 5, as thou knowest not what the way of the Spirit, I'm sorry, thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, and how the bones do grow in the womb of the woman that is with child, even so thou knowest not the work of God who maketh all. Now you see what he's saying? Now today we're advanced. We have learned with the what do you call it? X-ray machine, you know, and all these things. Now we can see how all that works. We can look and marvel at that. But these people didn't know how all that worked. They didn't know whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. Nowadays, you young folks can cheat and figure that out. My wife and I didn't want to know. We wanted to wait till the time come. And so, but you know, you can do that today. But think about when those people didn't know. They didn't know what was going to happen. A woman has a child. They don't know whether things are going well or going good, whether it's a boy or a girl. They don't know. They just know that God is forming that child in the womb the way he intended to do it. And so you just got to wait till that comes and let God take care of it. So when you look at life, it's like a child being born. You don't know what's going on. You can't see the inward workings of what God is doing. But know this, God is doing his work. God is working. I love that Philippians 1:5. God's begun a work in us, and he's not going to stop till he finishes. So you see, we think, oh, I don't know. I made a mess, and God's done. Let me tell you, a living dog has more hope than a dead lion. You might be a dog where you're living. Let me tell you, if you're living, there's hope for you. You can do good. You can change. I don't care what mess you make. But if you will see that God will work and God is working, and so don't you worry. You just get your Bible out and read your Bible, and whatever it says, old buddy, you just go do that. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. You do what God says, and you do it with confidence. And if somebody says, oh, you don't need to do that. No, don't. If God says do it, my friend, you go do it. And you might be the only one to go do it, but you just go do what God said. And don't wait for everything to line up when all the stars get lined up. Then you go get the astrologer out and look in the newspaper and the horoscope and all that foolishness. Don't pay any mind to anything but God. God's the one doing the work. He's the one who's blowing the wind, causing the rain to come down and the trees to grow and all those things. So don't you worry about a thing, because you have no power or control over the sovereignty of God. And God's going to take care of you. And so the writer goes on to tell us, after he says that about that, he says, in the morning sow, here's the same idea we began with, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike. And so you see, you don't know. So in the morning when you get up, start out saying, what good can I do today? Ask yourself in the morning when you get up, when you get through reading your Bible and praying to God, say, God, what good could I do? What can I dream up to do today to be good? Maybe I'll go take, I used to go by an old welding shop and take an old boy just to, I knew him, and I'd go over and take him, go to McDonald's, get him a glass of sweet tea and take it over to him. And just go over and talk to him a little while, you know, and try to talk to him about some things that were important. Just go over and do that. And he always, oh, we were just good friends. And every time I want something to be welded, I'd go over to the shop. I couldn't pay an old boy a dime. All I'd give him was $2 or $3 worth of iced tea. And he'd weld stuff up and spend a lot of his money. I couldn't give him a dime. He was a friend to me. Because I'd invested just a little. I just spread a little bread over his way, see. Scattered out a few seeds over there. And so he became a great friend to me. And that's the way life is. If you'll just be the kind of person you ought to be and be friendly. And I've told folks all the time, you know, when you see somebody, if they're smiling, you know, we're going to see, this chapter is going to show us, we should be the happiest people in the world. We should be people who smile. I don't know what it is about us. Have you looked in the mirror at some of us? It looks like we've been sucking on a pickle, you know. And I think we must have been baptized in vinegar. We turned into a pickle rather than a Christian. We ought to be people, and that, I tell you, that will attract people. If you smile at people, they're going to smile at you. You say, how are you doing? They're going to say, how are you doing? Who are you? And you get a conversation with somebody you didn't even know. If you just be friendly with people and just reach out to people and use your little influence in that way, your smile, your straight teeth will get somebody to talk to, you see. So just be friendly. Be that kind of a person. And go out here knowing you don't know how things are going to go. Just go out here and do good. And don't worry about it, because it may all be good, it may all be bad, but let me tell you, it'll all bounce out. My grandpa, years ago, when he would farm, some years it would be a dry spell, we didn't get much. He said, well, wasn't a good year, but I tell you, next year, the year after, it's going to double up. We'll make it, we'll balance her out. And that's the way it is. You ever notice anybody's farm? You farmers know what I'm talking about? You go through, oh, I'm going to go bankrupt this year. Next year, you'll make twice as much, and next year, you might get three times as much, and then you'll have another spell like that. And it always works out. And that's the way God works it. And so just put your faith in God and go out in the world. Notice what verse 8 says. I'm sorry, verse 7. Now listen now as he says this about all that. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Now notice he's saying, now there's sometimes when you can see what's going on and you know how things are working. And it's such a joy and such a pleasant thing when you can see how it goes, and you get excited about that because you can see it, you know. You can go down through life and you can see. But what about when you can't see? Listen to the next verse. But if a man live many years, and here's an old boy living many years, and I'm going to tell you, this is you here, and it's me. If you live many years and rejoice in them all, now you see what God's saying for you to do with everyday old buddy? When you get old, don't become cynical. Don't become an old, grumpy, grouchy old person. When you get old, you rejoice every day in your old years. You live many years. Put a smile on your face and look for good and say kind things to people. It's amazing what an influence an old person can have that sometimes other people can't have. And so you, if you live many years and you rejoice in them all, but now listen to this, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, all that cometh is vanity. So the point is, when you get older and when it gets those dark days, now see, I'm starting to get on the edge, and I tell you young people, let me tell you something, have you ever heard folks say that the old people are over the hill? There's no over the hill to it. It's uphill all the way, let me tell you. It gets steeper as you go. When you lose your muscles and your eyes and your ears and your teeth and your knees, it's harder to do everything you do. And so you've got to realize you better build up. I told folks I used to have a diesel car. Paul Earnhardt gave me years ago a diesel car. He had it and it wouldn't run, so I took it and overhauled it and got it going. And so it got 50 miles to the gallon, but you couldn't pull the hat off your head with it. It didn't have any power. And I'd be out on the interstate with four people in that car, and here'd come a big old long hill. Now, I hate to tell you this, I shouldn't tell you, but I would speed up to 65 or 70 and get that thing floored up, so when I got up over top of the hill, I'd be doing 35 and got top of it, but I'd get over the top of it. I'm going to tell you what, when you see a hill in front of you, don't hit the brakes and don't push in the clutch. Stomp on the gas and get at it. Just keep on going. Stay after life and go all the way down the end. I won't go down the end of my life, get on the edge of the graveyard, and jump over in the hole. That's what I want to do. I'm not going to coast along anyway. I want to go all the way to the end of it. And so here's a picture of somebody who understands there's going to be those days. And so you just go ahead. But now let me tell you, in those dark days when you can't see well and things aren't working as well, you put a smile on your face. You know that God's taking care of things. And, oh, buddy, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. So don't worry. Don't become cynical. Put a smile on your face. Enjoy all the days you live, every day. God's saying, don't just take a couple of days a week and be happy on Friday. People, oh, thank God it's Friday. Well, God bless you. What happened to Monday? You see, we ought to see that every day. If you get up every day and say, I'm going to make this a good day, and I'm going to smile, and I'm going to find something good in it, and I'm going to find something good to do every day, you'll be shocked. It's your attitude that does it, you see. It's something you learn about life. It's like I told you about that sailboat. I couldn't change the wind, but I could sure adjust my sail and go where I want to go. And that's what you've got to do in life. You just got to keep adjusting yourself. And you're going to find out when you get those years piled up, there's going to be some dark days come, and there's going to be some pain. And you're going to, I'll just be honest, I was awake till 3:30 this morning, laid in the floor in the living room, suffering because of the rain with my pains and aches. And finally, my wife woke up and gave me a pain pill, and I went into bed and went to sleep and woke up about 6 o'clock and got out of bed. Well, here I'm still going. I'll probably go to bed pretty quick tonight. But I want you to know, that's the way you do, you see. You ever heard somebody say, old people sleep like a baby? You know what a baby does? Sleeps 2 hours and wakes up and cries a while and goes back to sleep. Well, that's what you do, see. Well, here's the picture of what happens in life. But now notice, he turns now from these older people and tell them how they ought to be to look at what young people. And have you noticed the Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, they are given with the application to young people. Young people, study these books. Know them while you're young. Don't wait to get old to study these books. And don't forget these books. These books are going to help you while you're young to really enjoy your life even when you get old. And so he says in verse 9, rejoice, O young man. Now we're looking at the other stream. Have you ever thought about what old young people sometimes, I can remember when I was younger, I couldn't wait to be 16, you know. I just couldn't wait to be 16. Now I'm 67. I wish I was 16 again, see. When you're young, you say, oh, those days down there are the better days. I want to get older. And when you get older, you say, oh, those days back there were the better days. Let me tell you, they're all good days. And so when you're young, don't throw your youth away. Don't run away from it. If you're 14 or 15, don't wish you were 16. Enjoy 14. Enjoy 15. And God wants you to enjoy. Can you see this is a command of God? God is commanding young people here, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. So you might say, oh, God's up in heaven. If I'm starting to have some fun, he's looking down, he doesn't want me to do it. No. God wants young people to have fun. He wants them to have fun. He wants them to enjoy life. That's what God wants for young people. But now notice, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Notice, let your heart cheer you. Here's your mind. Here's your thinking. What gives you joy? Is it what happens to you? If that's the case, you're going to be unhappy most of your life. If you've got to be happy by everything going your way, you'll live a miserable life. You've got to be happy no matter how things go. You've got to make up your mind. I'm going to find something good, something to be happy about. Even when I'm having a difficult time, I'll tell you, I just sat up last night and listened to the Bible on tape at 3:30 in the morning. That's what I did. I just kept listening to that until my wife got up and finally had to find a way to knock me out so I'd go to sleep, you see. But if you just take everything you're in and find something good and something you're thinking about, let me tell you, that's the way to do it. And so the writer says to us there, he says, let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth and walk in the ways of thine heart. So in other words, whatever you want to do, you find things to do, and you go do those things that you want to do that give your heart joy. But now listen to me, there's something that governs that. Listen to what he says, and rejoice in thy heart and in thy spirit. Let me read that again. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Now, young people, think about this. There's a lot of good things to do. There's a lot of fun things to do. There are groups of people who go and do things, and young people sometimes be careful getting with the wrong gang and going with the wrong people because you can get tangled up in something. I tell about when I was younger. My mama ran off and left when I was young, and my daddy was a Marine, and he didn't know anything about how to raise kids, and so it was pretty difficult, but I knew some things. My daddy, he boxed in the Marine Corps when I got to be about 12 years old. He said, I'm not going to spank you. He said, if you misbehave, we're just going to have a fist fight. And so the first time we did that, I put my fist up, and I swung at him. He beat the fire. Don't you ever swing at me. I thought, well, I thought we was going to. He said, no, I'm going to give you a good whooping, so I'm going to give you. And so I began to learn the process. And so I went out with some of my buddies when I was old enough to get out and run around. And they said, come on, Gary, let's go get a case of beer. Let's go out to Mitchell Hill and drive around out there and drink some beer tonight. And I said, I wish I could, but my daddy's a Marine, and if I'm not home by 11:30, I'll have two black eyes and a broke nose tomorrow. I said, I got to be home at 11:30. So I got in my car and went home. My old buddies went down toward Mitchell Hill, got to drinking beer, got up to 90 mile an hour. If you ever go to the car, Casper Car Show, and see one of the fellas, all free-handed pinstriping on cars, I went to school with that old boy. He was in the car that night, and his brother was sitting in, it was driving, Jimmy was driving, and they hit a bridge abutment, and it killed Jimmy, and it broke his brother's leg. And so his brother, after that all passed and years went by, I'd go to the Carl Casper Car Show in Louisville, and I'd see my old buddy Bob down there, and I'd say, Bob, what's going on? He said, hey, how you doing, Mr. 1130? He said, I wish I'd been a Mr. 1130. He said, if me and my brother had been 1130 boys, we'd still be here today. He said, I wish my mama or my daddy would have been a boxer in the Marines. You see, I didn't think about that when I was growing up. When I got out of the military and came home, my daddy, he had thrown me out when I was 18. And so I came home from the military, and I pulled up to the house, and my dad saw me. He came out on the porch. He stood out on the porch like that, you know, like a Marine would stand. I got out of my car, walked up on the porch. I fell down on the steps and wrapped my knees around his legs. I said, thank you, Daddy, for doing whatever you tried to do to bring me through. I said, you did all that you know how to do. But I said, God bless you for taking care of me and trying to help me the best you knew how. Let me tell you, parents make mistakes, but they're trying to help you, young people. And so if you can see, be careful. And don't go out in one night, you can go out and ruin your life. And I know sometimes you think, oh, my parents, they just don't know what in the world's going on. You're going to find out they're awful smart. I talked to a boy when I obeyed the gospel, he was a young fellow, lived close to me and spent a lot of time with him. And as he grew up, I started having children, I said, David, I want to know what you thought about your daddy who was an elder of the church. He said, well, I'll just tell you the truth. When I was a child, I thought my daddy was the smartest man in the world. He said, I became a teenager, and he said, I don't know what happened. My daddy turned his mind plumb off. He didn't know what in the world was going on. He didn't know whether the sun come up or went down. And he said, for a long time, my daddy was the dumbest man I ever knew. But he said, finally, I got out of college and got married and had some children, and my daddy got awful smart again. I'm going to tell you, that's the way it works. So young people, listen to me. God's going to bring you into judgment. You be careful. I tell this to young people about when I was younger, about sexuality. My grandmother one time, I must have been old enough to start noticing girls. And this girl was walking down the street, and my grandmother saw me looking at her, and she said, and she noticed I wasn't looking at her hairdo, I was looking at other things. And so she said, come in this house, I'm going to teach you something about life right now. I said, what is it about? She said, come in here. She said, I'm going to make your lunch and put on a table. She said, I want you to go out in the garden and look around in the garden at all that rich dirt out there in the garden. She said, you pick that dirt up and then you reach over and you pick out a tomato and you eat that tomato. She said, you bust one of those watermelons open, now just one, and eat the heart out of it. And just enjoy that. And so pick some of them green beans and taste some of that. And just walk around and see the blessings in that garden. And then pick a handful of dirt up and come in the house or into the kitchen. I said, what for? She said, get out there and do what I told you. Well, I knew to do that, so I went. And I got me a handful of dirt, and I come back in the kitchen. She said, now, did you see all the blessings in that garden? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, that dirt, God put that dirt in the garden because that's where that dirt belongs. And that dirt is a rich blessing in the garden. But if you take the dirt out of the garden and bring it in and put it on the kitchen table, it becomes a curse. She said, now, scatter that dirt over the top of your lunch plate. She'd made some potato salad and a tuna fish sandwich. Well, I tried the best I could to miss the plate. And I got some of that grit on my potato salad, my sandwich. She said, you sit down, you eat your lunch, and you remember, if you take sex out of marriage, you will eat grit. And once you eat that grit, it will never go away. You always remember. You can never go back and be what you were. She said, don't you ever eat grit by having sex outside of marriage. And so she said, now sit down and eat that lunch and remember that. I sat there, I chew that grit up and sat there and I chewed that stuff up and ate it, and I thought, boy, I sure won't forget this. I went in the military. I'd go to Crete, the island of Crete, every year and shoot nuclear missiles into the Mediterranean. There were 18 solid blocks of houses of ill repute, And all my buddies said, "Come on, Gary, let's go, let's go." I said, "I'm not going down there." They said, "Why not?" I said, "I've already eaten grit one time. I'm never going to eat it ever again." They said, "What's he talking about?" They didn't know I had learned. You wait till you get married. Young people, please. You get to be an old man and tell young people, wait till you get married. If you got to put some dirt on your sandwich to learn to do it, but you save yourself. You do what God, you do what mom and dad are trying to tell you. They're trying to save you from a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, a lot of sadness because of the things you might think when you're young you can do and you can get away with. You can't get away with it. And so the writer tells us in verse 10, conclusion, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood and youth are fleeting. Childhood and youth are running away. There's a couple of mistakes you can make. One mistake is trying to be young all your life. That's a mistake. And the other mistake is to not realize you better get ready for being old. And the way to do that is to live when you're young so you won't have a lot of heartache, a lot of regret, a lot of things when you're older you wish you had never done. Young people, think about that. This book is written with an application for you to see. You be careful. You listen to God. You put your faith in God. God's going to take care of you. And let me tell you, it's all going to work out. But you've got to remember, He's going to call you into account one day. So you live in such a way, when you get to be old, you can smile right on through. And you can know, I didn't do some of those things, and I'm glad I didn't. I did a lot of bad things, but there's some things I didn't do. I used to tell young people, I've done just about everything bad. And one time a young person said, "Well, who have you killed?" "Well, I haven't done everything bad. I've done just about everything bad. But there's some things I did not do, and I'm glad to tell you that." If you're here tonight, you've never obeyed the gospel, young people, can you see why we're going to go on to see you need to think about it while you're young? When you've got energy and excitement and thrill and joy, you can memorize things and you can do so much good. A lot of young influence of the energy. Use your energy and your influence while you're young. Remember God now while you're young, because the days are going to come, if you live very long, to see. There are challenges in life and things you wish you had never done. If you're here tonight and need to respond in any way, why don't you come? Let's stand and sing the song of encouragement.